welcome in to the Strength of the Things That Remain podcast. We're glad you're here. I'm Bradley Boone. On to my right here is Todd McKinn, and we're privileged to have with us this evening the one and the only.
Oh, no.
Preacher Joe Arthur. Mr. Camp Meeting.
Well, that was Billy Kelly. That was Billy Kelly. But I'm glad to be with you. I'm preaching right across the road.
Yep.
The Yancey County Baptist Camp Meeting, and looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Preacher, we want to just get, everybody knows. Everybody that's going to watch this podcast knows you. Just tell us your story a little bit. Just start from the day you got saved and come on up.
You mean to look at you or look at that?
You look at that, look at me, you look at whatever.
That's probably a better view.
Yeah.
But, of course, everybody knows I was born and raised into an old-fashioned preacher's home. Daddy preached and Mama shouted.
Amen.
And I am not ashamed, let's clear that right now, of my heritage, my raising, my background. It was wonderful. And I know there's probably people that have stories to tell, but I don't.
Yeah.
My mom and daddy were true blue. They were the same thing at home as they were at church. I hear people say, well, there were no perfect parents. I understand that, but I tell you, mine was close.
Right.
And, they made me want to know God. They made me want to know who God is. I like to tell that my daddy was Baptist. He grew up Baptist born, Baptist bred, but quiet, reserved, you know, dignified. Well, my mama, all her people, you know, were Church of God. In fact, you know, my great aunt was a preacher. It runs in our family. But, you know, so daddy and her got to, daddy was a nice man. And he was delivering ice to her house, and they kind of started sparking, and they fell in love, got married, and had three beautiful daughters. Oh, that's my sisters. And their daddy got born again, got the real thing, got saved. Not long after that, called to preach, and he told Mom, he said, "Let's try to have one more child. Let's pray to be a man child. Pray God to save him and call him to preach." Now, I didn't know none of this for a long time. And so July the 22nd, 1962, which is right around the corner, I was born. I was about a week old. Went to church. Been going ever since. They dedicated me to the Lord. And grew up in Danville, Virginia for a while. Then Ronald Crapitz, North Carolina for a while. Then got saved when Daddy pastored in Reedsville. In 1979, we moved to Reedsville, and I was singing in this little group in the church, and religious, very religious, but lost. I didn't know Christ for myself. And our little youth group went over to sing at the Canaan Baptist Church in their revival. And a young preacher from the hills of Tennessee named Stennett Ballou, in his mid-30s, came to preach that meeting, and he preached on Monday night, the boy about the five loaves and the two small fishes. He preached on Tuesday night, Romans 12, about beseech you therefore, brethren. We didn't go Wednesday because we was at Daddy's church. Well, Thursday, I went by myself. I just went over there. He had a boy named David my age, and we kind of started being buddies, and so I went over there, sat on the front row of that church. And that night, Brother Blue preached on where Paul said in Galatians, "I buried my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he said, of course, that refers to physical beatings. Mm-hmm. He said, but there are some spiritual marks. And he went through the Word of God. And like, if you are a true believer, you will have these, you know.
Right.
And so I began to check that list off. Scared me to death for the first time in my life. You know, I realized, man, I'm lost. I didn't know what to say. It scared me so bad, I didn't go down front. I just froze in my seat. And that was really tough because Dad was well known and everybody respected him. And be honest with you, you know, they respected our family. And I just couldn't figure this out. But anyway, got home that night, and as Wayne Huntley would say, "Wave the white flag, go surrender." And got saved in my bedroom. That was in 1979 in June on a Thursday night. Then about almost 2 months later, I surrendered to preach, driving my Chevrolet pickup truck. coming out of 158 out of Henderson. We'd heard Dad preach that night. And I was following him and Mom. You know, when you get 16, you can't ride with your parents, man. That ain't cool, you know. So I'm riding that pickup truck. Boy, God's been dealing with me, you know. And we're 158, runs into Interstate 85 in Oxford, North Carolina. I went to pull out, and brother, I almost pulled out in front of a transfer truck, big logging truck. And you couldn't get a piece of tissue paper between my bumper, and it just shook. And the Lord said, all right, you preach or you die. And you choose. Well, I started preaching. And that was in 1979. And in 1981, we moved to Marion, Virginia. And then in 1984, I took the church in Georgia, where I've been at now for 37 years. Brother Mays Jackson's best friend was Jack Hughes, and he was a member of that church, and they got without a preacher. And we was over at Ralph Sexton's at the Land of the Sky. I was playing guitar with Billy Kelly, and Brother Mays said, Joe, are you going to marry that girl you've been dating? The Bible said a pastor's got to be the husband of one wife, but you don't even have one. You're unscriptural. Just picking at me, you know. And he said, you're going to get married, I'm going to recommend you to that church. So I got ordained, married, and took a church in 1 week's time.
Oh, my.
Billy Kelly said, you had to go do it all. But Julie and I got married in November of 84. Actually, I took the church in October of 84. And we moved out of the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia to Atlanta, Georgia. It was like the Clampett. Culture shock. But we took that little church in 84, and I was 22, she was 19. Somebody asked me, they said, why did they call y'all? Y'all were so young. Simple. They couldn't get nobody. And when you're better than nothing, you'll get a lot of opportunities. And so we took the church, and then we just kind of started from there, and I went to a local Bible college to get my education there, Emmanuel Baptist College. And then about 1990, the Lord began to open doors for me. And by 92, you know, he was very gracious to me and began to preach, you know, nearly every week. And then the church has been so understanding of my ministry. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
They've worked with me, not against me.
Right.
And it's just been a wonderful journey, and I've met a lot of wonderful friends along the way.
Amen.
And we've come this far by faith, and it's his ship and his trip, and I'm just glad to be riding the
boat. Amen. Amen.
God is good.
Get you back on the Strength of the Things That Remain podcast very soon, I promise. But we want to talk to you just a minute about the Blue Ridge Baptist Bible College. Me and Todd, I know this is hard to believe, but we are college professors. Isn't that right?
If you say so.
I mean, we're professors. You're the doc. Professors at the Blue Ridge Baptist Bible College. And we'd love to have you in the upcoming semester. It starts in August, toward the end of August. I've not got an exact date. Reach out to us on Facebook, and we can get you more information about it. It's available as a completely online version if you want, or you can come and be in person for the upcoming semester. Either way, we'd love to have you in Bible college. It's very affordable, about $300 a semester. And you pick up the book cost, of course, but $300 a semester, and you can be at Blue Ridge Baptist Bible College. Think it's worth your time?
I think it is. We have a great time. And I think it'd be a blessing to you.
Well, we hope you'll reach out to us. Now back to more of the Strength in the Things That Remain podcast. We would be remiss if we didn't get some Billy Kelly stories. I know. tell us, how did you get first hooked up with Brother Billy?
It's amazing. It's amazing because he didn't know our family. Our family didn't know him. But Mays Jackson was the connecting rod. He preached all over Reedsville, North Carolina, Danville, Virginia. In fact, Mays preached so much in North Carolina that if you'd call his wife Dot, Dot, where's Mays? She'd say, honey, he's on the mission field. That he was in North Carolina. It was his bread and butter state.
Right. Well,
right. Hallelujah. And but anyway, he was preaching for Dad. And he said, Joe, I want you to meet Billy Kelly. You'd love old Billy Kelly. I played the guitar a little bit. And he said, Billy likes that. He likes to play that old fiddle. You and him would, so Mays worked it out for me to come to Emmanuel Baptist Church, where Junior Dawson was the pastor, in Mountary, North Carolina, to meet Brother Billy. They had a little jubilee there. And he said, I want you to preach if you come. Now, you've got to understand, man, I'm 18 years old. And he said, I'm preaching on Thursday night. Said, Ralph Sexton's going to be there. I said, well, who's that? He said, you don't know Ralph. Under God, he's the dean of the mountain preaching. So he said, now, I won't tell you you need to do this, though. He said, you need to go first. I said, well, whatever. He said, here's why. I said, you can't follow Ralph Sr. He said, if he hits it, it'll be so far out the FBI can't find it. But if he misses it, God won't be nowhere around. So he said, you can't. So I preached that night. And then Dr. Sexton came. Then Billy Kelly was there. And we just got to talking. We got to playing a few numbers together. And he looked at me. And big old tears, Brother Bradley, right out of his eyes. He said, I like you, boy. I like you. I want you to come down and see me. I want you to travel with me. I want you to be my buddy. I want you to be my companion. What he meant by that is he wanted me to drive his car, shine his shoes, rub his back, carry his suitcases. And that's what I did.
Amen.
And I do it all over again.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I do it all over again.
Yes, sir.
And then he invited me to start helping him at the Greer Camp meeting. And Brother Billy and I had a wonderful relationship for 15 years. It was from the time I met him it was almost to the week. From the time I met him in April I preached his funeral in April. It was almost within a couple of days of meeting. I'm right on the money of 15 years.
How about that?
And I traveled with him and prayed with him and preached with him and ate with him.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why Barnesville holds a special spot to me. Because the first place I went with Billy, the first place we went, I met him at his house. He said, now Joe, we're going to Barnesville, North Carolina. So I'm up there at Double Island Baptist with Brother Arthur Woody in a meeting. And said, now we're going to stay in a cabin in the woods. Boy, I didn't know what all that meant. But I came to my first meeting to Burnsville at Double Island with Brother Billy, and then I traveled with him every week.
Amen.
Until I took the church. And then we traveled together some then, but I helped him every year at the Greer Camp meeting. And let me tell you something about Billy Kelly. He was the most honest, sincere, no facade. What you see was what you got. Real.
Right.
And no put on. But I'm telling you, he had a genuine heart for God and God's people.
Amen.
And he was not only big in body, but he had a big heart.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had defining moments in your life. But you can look back and say, that was a defining moment.
Right.
One of the defining moments of my ministry, we were in Yulee, Florida. This was the year before I got married. We were in Yulee, Florida. Squire Parson had just went out on his own. Larry Montgomery was pastor of Nassau Baptist Temple. Ralph Sexton Sr. was there preaching, and Billy was there to preach one night and lead the music. And Larry Richardson, the world famous banjo player, was there. And I just played guitar in the background, just, doing what he told me to do. Well, I won't ever forget it. It was a Wednesday night. They wanted Brother Billy to preach. But the preacher got up and said, now, before Brother Billy preaches, and for some reason, I can't remember this man's name, he said, I want this brother from Alabama, somewhere from Alabama, to preach before Brother Billy. And like I said, I feel bad and I can't remember his name, but the message was just like phenomenal. He preached on the cross. And to this day, it's probably the greatest sermon I've heard on the cross. Sometimes you got meetings where people are shouting and running. And this was one of those all meetings. Yeah. Like, you didn't know what to do. And I looked over at Brother Billy, and Brother Billy said, "Whoo, you pray for me. Boy, if there's any more preaching done in this room tonight, God will have to do it." But I'm thinking, yeah, I wonder how he's going to handle this.
Right.
Well, that guy got through preaching, and I think Squire Parson or somebody saying, the moderator said, "All right, Brother Billy, you come on." Well, Brother Billy gets up there, and he starts into that stuff. One yarn, in about 10 minutes, all the God was gone. All the anointing was gone. Everybody forgot that great message. And he's up there, and, I'm going, he killed it. He killed it. He killed that meeting. He knows better than that, because I'm 20. I don't know everything. Well, he gobbled around there about 10, 15, 20 minutes. He said, "Now, open your Bible." And Brother, he lit into preaching on Belshazzar. And the handwriting on the wall,
Yeah, I've already preached.
I could never pronounce that. So, Brother, about halfway through that sermon, the anointing of God fell on that man, fell on that whole building. Mm. Brother, he gave the invitation. And listen, I'm sincere. Brother Sammy would say, "I'm sincere now." He gave that invitation. That was a big church too. They were wall to wall in the altar. 3 and 4 rows deep. Sobbing. People got saved. People got called to preach. People got rededicated. Recount. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just awesome. Well, after church, I'm driving that first red Dodge pickup truck that he got. And we're in that red Dodge pickup truck going back to the hotel. And I hear him, pitch black dark. And I hear he's crying. Well, I think he's sick or something, you know. So I turned the light on and I looked. And boy, he just cried. I said, "What's wrong, Brother Billy?" And this is what he said to me. He said, "Boy, I don't know why in the world God could use somebody like he did me tonight. If I was God, I wouldn't even have saved
him.
Much less used me." I turned that light off because that was sacred.
Yeah.
And then at that time, in this young preacher's heart, I said, "I know why."
Yeah.
I know why. He never got over his raising.
Mm.
He never got over being such a terrible sinner. That's hard for me to imagine.
Yeah.
But he lived a wicked life and God saved him. And he never got over that.
Amen.
And that was a defining moment in my life.
I remember when I first started preaching, somebody gave me a VHS tape. Billy Kelly just telling yarns. "You're on it." Playing the guitar, sitting in front of a fireplace.
Laughing with Billy Kelly. We made that, Brother Bradley, in January before he died the next year in April. So that tape was out about 1 year and 3 or 4 months before he died. And I'm so glad. A preacher named Bill Reese and Walter Merle, they were big buddies, and they loved Brother Billy. And they said, "Look, we better get Brother Billy on tape."
Yeah.
You know, telling all of that. Because, you know, VHS had just come out then, you know. And that was Bill's place that we were at. He planned it all. He worked all of that out. And I am so thankful.
Oh, yeah.
Because Billy, I drove him down there that night. Billy was in a meeting that week with Dave McCoy at People's Baptist at McDonald's. And he asked Brother McCoy, he said, "Can I have a night off to go do this?" And, of course, Dave McCoy is one of the finest preachers in shoe leather. And he said, "Yes, sir." So I drove him down there that night and drove him back so he could finish that meeting. And I'm so glad we got to do it. And I'm so glad Billy got to see it. Because like I said, 1 year and a couple of months. Well, actually, by the time it was produced and it got out, it was probably right at 1 year.
Right.
But that was awesome.
Yeah.
Telling those stories and everything. Yeah. And Billy was unique. A lot of people didn't understand him. They thought he was just a big joke teller, and you know. But let me tell you something. He's well run deep.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, he knew God.
Yeah.
He knew when God was a moving. In fact, another defining moment. We was at the Greer Camp. We're sitting up there. Brother, it's locked down. I don't know what's wrong, but the whole meeting's locked down. The service is locked down. I mean, it's bad. You could just, it's locked down. And I looked at him, I said, do something. Sam, do something. He looked at me and said, what do you want me to do? I said, well, do something. I said, wildfire's better than no fire, brother. Let me tell you, he come across that pew with the back of his hand. He hit me in my gut. I said, what was that for? He said, don't you ever say that again. He said, wildfire's not better than no fire. Because he said, boy, God killed people in the Old Testament for offering up wildfire.
Yeah.
He said, tell you something. This is God's meeting. And if God wants to do something, he don't do it. You just be quiet. I never brought that up again. A few minutes, he looked over back Naomi Kelly and said, give me ye flat. He walked up there and started singing something, and it broke loose. They started riding piggyback, throwing flyer pots. And he walked back over there and said, well, bless God, that blowed it out. You know, just that was him.
Yeah.
I've seen him preach before and just quit. I'm in the middle of it. Let's get an invitation. That's it. Get in the car and I say, what was that all about? There wasn't no God in there. He said, wasn't no God in there. And he said, I'm not a performer.
Amen.
Amen.
You know that's it. You know what he told me? He said, somebody that shouts at the same place every time at the same point, that's mechanical. Mm. He told me this one time. He said, God's a sovereign. He don't have to duplicate himself.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Just little things like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's some funny stuff probably better not tell, but we had a great time. We had a great time. He was God's man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved him.
Amen.
I loved him.
Amen. Well, you know, I can speak for myself just watching you over the years. You've always been one of my heroes. Oh, God's really blessed me the last 2 weeks because Mike Bagwell sat here last week.
Oh, boy. One of my heroes.
Yeah.
One of my heroes. And then you this week. Another one of my heroes. I feel like that mantle fell on you. You've carried it. Preached. You know, me and Todd were talking earlier. A lot of times, even in the independent movement, certain circles like certain men, but somehow you've transcended that. Seemed like every circle I know about. They love Brother Joe. Tell me about camp meeting. What do you see? Is it old-time religions alive and well? Tell us about camp.
Well, I'll just tell you this. Last week at the Greer Camp meeting, two different nights, wasn't it, Alex? Two different nights I did this. We had probably, the nights I did this, we probably had around 650 to 700 people there the nights that I did this. We had larger crowds, you know, but they were good crowds this year. But I think the night I did this, it was close to 700, maybe if not. I said, all right, I want everybody in the tabernacle tonight, 25 and under, stand. It was almost half of
Amen.
The tabernacle.
Amen.
I've seen more young preachers lately than I have in a long time. I've seen more young teenagers at camp meetings than I have in a long time. And that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
That's very encouraging to me. You know, everybody's not jump ship.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's not got some kind of wild goose chase there.
Right? Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. Whether it's, and I don't like to use this word circle, but let's say styles.
Right.
Because we're all on the same page
right.
when it comes to doctrine.
Right.
And morals and the fundamentals of the faith.
Right.
But we're talking styles.
Right.
Whether you are a camp meeting style or a or another type of independent Baptist style or whatever your style is, that there's good and bad and all.
Right,
right.
I can tell you about Southern Baptist preachers that's foul out.
Right.
I can tell you about independent Baptist preachers that's foul out. I can tell you about preachers that used to preach at the camp meeting or they used to preach at the Southwide, or they used to preach at the Sword Conference, or, you know, they I'm just telling you, there's good and bad in every circle.
Right.
And I refuse, I refuse to focus on the bad.
Yeah, tell it.
And overlook the good.
Yeah.
Because this is a testimony. I've met more good.
Amen.
Than I
absolutely.
Have. Amen.
Shelton Smith said this to me one time, the editor of the Sword of the Lord, and I never thought about this. He said he read all of Paul's writings, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but he read all of the writings of Paul, and he had a list of all the particular names that Paul used in all his writings.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was a list this long.
Yeah.
And out of a list of names that long, he only had something negative to say about five people.
Yeah.
And don't put me on these numbers, but I think it's over 45 to 50 names.
Right.
And like I said, it may have been more. It's been a while since he told me this, but he did a study on all the writings of Paul, and he listed every time Paul mentioned a name, he wrote it down. And it was over 45 to 50 some names. And out of them, there was only five that he has something negative to say about. Right. And then he wasn't assassinating their character. He was just telling you what they had, done wrong in the church.
Right.
And this is what he said. He said, "That tells me the good outweighs the bad."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and I pastored 37 years at the same church, and, I promise you, we've had more good members than we've had bad.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm telling you, whether you're Independent Baptist or Southern Baptist, or a church of God, or whatever. I promise you there's been great men, more great men, than there has been bad.
Right.
The faults
right.
and the fake.
Right.
And I'm not going to focus on the faults and the fake. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
And thank God for the good men.
Yes.
That made an impact in our life.
Amen. Yeah,
that's right. Amen. How many meetings do you preach a year now?
Well, I usually start traveling the first week or so of January, and of course I try to be home all Sundays, and then I slow down after Thanksgiving. My wife, when I started, being real busy, she said, give me December. So I usually start about the 1st of January and the end of, after that, the 1st of December, and usually I'm somewhere Monday, Tuesday, and somewhere else Thursday, Friday. Now, this week's been a little different. I was somewhere, Fossil, Pennsylvania, Monday, Tuesday. I was in Crossville, Tennessee last night, and then tonight, tomorrow night, I'll be at Burnsville.
Right.
Sometimes I do that, but my wife has been very understanding, my family, my church has been very kind and gracious, and the Lord's opened the doors, and I've just tried to walk through
I know over the years that you've done a lot like what Brother Billy did for you. You've took some young men under your wing that's driven you, you got somebody driving you tonight.
Well, yes, I've tried to do that through the years, but have I got a second to talk about this?
Yeah.
Back in the spring of last year, boy, I got so burdened about it, depression. It seemed like there were so many people trying to discourage the next generation, derail and distract the next generation. I thought, I got to do something. God, please. Well, God was speaking to my heart. There's a songwriter named Sandy Blythe. She's written a lot of big songs for the Wizards and different groups. But I heard a song she wrote called about Isaiah, "Lord, here am I, send me." And there was a line in that song that got me. As you search this world over, don't look any farther.
Mm.
Lord, here am I. Send me. And boy, God, I knew the Lord was dealing with me about it. And God, what do I need to do for these young men? What do I need to do? And one Sunday morning, going to the church I pastored, I missed a turn. And I wound up on a different road. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. So at this stoplight, I was waiting on that stoplight to change. And I just said, I felt just like I did tonight, God called me to preach. I said, Lord, you're calling me. You're calling me to do something. And whatever it is, here am I. And I no more than said, here am I. And my phone rang. And it was one of my friends. And he's weeping uncontrollably on the other end of the line. And I said, man, what's wrong? And one of the young preachers out of his church had taken his life the Saturday night before. And I said, Lord, that's all the proof I need. And I went straight to my office, and God gave me the whole thing. So I started a ministry this year called R&R, Replenishing the Ranks.
Amen.
Helping the young preacher find, follow, and finish his calling. And that just simply consists of different intervals. When I'm at different churches, we'll have a special fellowship just for them. And we'll feed them and just sit there and talk with them.
Yeah.
We're going to have a retreat this coming fall. More information about that. And I'm getting a list of preachers that will help me have what we call the Young Preachers Hotline. Hey, if you get discouraged, call this number right here.
Yeah, that's good.
Talk to this man of God.
Yeah.
And then I've got some businessmen behind me, and we're going to pray about, and ask the Lord to lay it on our hearts, the different young preachers that's in good schools, good ones.
Yeah.
Helping them financially and helping them along the way. And I just feel like we need to do something.
Yeah,
to try to encourage these boys. There's plenty of camp meetings, plenty of conferences, plenty of places they can go and get preached to. And I love preaching, and there's no substitute for it. I love Billy Kelly's preaching. I love Dr. Canoa's preaching. I love Mace Jackson's preaching. I love my daddy's preaching. But what I got from those men that's helped me the most was the personal investment
made. Yeah.
Right.
Sitting there eating with Mace Jackson.
Yeah.
Boy, let me tell you something. Sitting there eating with Billy Canoy or Mace or Billy Kelly or my dad. And I tell everybody, I'm a combination. I trust I'm God's man. God called me. And I want to be myself. But what you see in me is a little bit of him, a little bit of Dr. Canoy taught me how to study words. My dad taught me how to outline a passage. C.O. Roach taught me the value of an introduction.
Yeah.
Evangelism and communication. I learned from Brother Mays. Camp meeting, music, the Holy Ghost, joy of the Lord. I learned from Billy Kelly.
Right.
I got my people skills. My dad and mama showed me how to treat people and love people. And you know, you get a little here and there. But I'm telling you, that personal investment. I read this quote the other Sunday, and they say that whoever started it is unknown, but I thought it's powerful. You want to touch the past, touch a rock. You want to touch the present, touch a flower. You want to touch the future, touch a life.
That's good.
And the only thing we leave behind is writings and print or people.
Yeah.
Or people. And I just feel like we got to do something.
Right. Yeah.
And so we started that ministry. It's been a blessing.
Oh, I think that's great. I'm just in my mind thinking about the men that God has put in my life through the years, you know, that I've learned different things from them. Like you said, just not from a pulpit. But I remember when I first got saved, my first pastor, he would take me everywhere he went. And just it was a Bible study basically the whole time. And what I learned in his vehicle was priceless.
I heard you.
Yeah, it was priceless.
I've sat at a table and heard Billy Canoy and Mace Jackson and that guy that used to, he used to pastor down in Louisiana, or just a brilliant mind. I've sat at the table just like and heard them guys talking about the deep doctrines of God. And I'm like, one of them said, Brother Joe, what do you think? I said, I don't know what to think.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a blessing. Yeah. And I just want to be a blessing to the next generation.
Amen.
And what? I appreciate you strengthening the things that remain.
Yeah.
We better be doing a lot of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being here. It's one of the big things we wanted to do with this podcast is try to encourage young preachers. It's really why we started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not everybody has to be a compromiser. You know, old time religion's not full of a bunch of bad people.
No.
Yeah. I like what you say a lot. You know, you can be right and not be mad about it.
Right.
You know.
This is what my daddy drilled into me. If a man changes, or church or a singer or a pastor. But if someone changes, I'm not talking about tweaking your ministry. I'm not talking about getting better.
Right.
I'm not talking about honing your skills. I'm not talking about sharpening the act. But I mean, to do, what is it, a 180?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to totally change what you've always been. It, my daddy said it means one of two things. You was always wrong, and then you finally got it right.
Right.
Or you were right, and you went wrong.
Yeah.
And he said, either way, you owe your followers an apology.
Right. Mm.
And he said, God won't ever owe his followers an apology because he's always been right.
Right. Right.
And I just, you take like those men that influenced you, the men that influenced me, they never changed.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it was in their DNA. That's who they really were.
Right.
And because they were right, they did. If you're right, what are you going to change into?
Right.
Right.
Wrong?
Right.
If you have truth, you change, that means error.
Right.
If you're right, you change, that means wrong.
Right.
And I just believe we need some more consistency.
Yeah.
Brother Sammy Allen was a man that greatly influenced my life. Not one iota difference.
Yeah.
From the day I met him to the day I preached his funeral.
Right.
Ed McAbee, from the day I met him to the day I preached his funeral.
Right.
Billy Kelly, from the day I met him to the day I preached his funeral. My father.
Yeah.
Amen.
From my birth.
Amen.
To I preached his funeral.
Yeah.
I'm steady.
Amen.
Plowing.
Yes.
Loving people. Loving
yes.
the Word of God. Leaning on the power of the Spirit of
yes.
God.
Amen.
I thank you for
that. Amen, preacher. Amen.
I'll encourage every young preacher and every old preacher. Don't swallow the bait.
Amen.
Don't take the lure. Don't believe the lie.
Right.
Get with God. That was an old preacher in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, named Don College. He passed away not long ago. Brother Don said, Lord God, honey, find out who you are in Jesus. Put your plow on the ground and stay there.
Amen.
It's worth every mile of the
yes,
trip.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Worth every mile of the trip.
One last question. We try to remember to ask this to everybody that comes in. Sometimes we forget, but we try to remember. If you could go back, how old were you when you started preaching?
17.
If you could go back, sit down with your 17-year-old self 5 minutes and give advice, what would you tell yourself?
Well, pray harder. Study more diligent. Don't get on your high horses too quick. Because the school of hard knocks is tough.
Yeah.
Watch some of the stuff that comes out your mouth. Because what you preach as a young man, you'll have to live as an old man.
Yeah.
And, follow good advice. Surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
And keep your eyes on Jesus. Fight bitterness. Don't, you know. And, that's what I'd say.
Amen. That's good. I got one question real quick. You travel a lot. I was going to ask you that a little while ago. You travel a lot. I mean, you sound like you're gone biggest part, majority of the year on the road. You're talking about studying. Just how do you balance that? Traveling so much and finding time to study the Scripture?
By the grace of God.
Because that's a big battle when you're on the road.
You
I know that.
You study in motels, airplanes, airports,
yeah.
Church studies, church basements, prophets' rooms. Brother, you just get the best you can.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I could write a book on balance.
Well, I wish you would.
Well,
yeah.
The need of it.
Yeah.
But that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, one of probably the most toughest things as you got a church, you have meetings, you have a wife, you have children, you have mission boards, responsibilities, and sometimes balancing all of that is not easy. And we're not perfect.
Right.
But there's a singer named Ron Martin that had a group one time called the Rollins. He helped me so much in a practical sense. He said, nobody's perfect. And we understand that. But he said, I believe God looks on our heart.
Mm.
And God knows our intent. And when our intent is right and our motive is right, God has mercy on us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God knows you're in it for the right reason.
Right.
God knows you're in it for the right motive and the right purpose. And what we like on one end, God's grace kicks in on the other.
Amen.
And I've probably not been the student I should have been. But, you know, that balancing is hard.
It is, yeah.
But you just do the best you can and ask God to give you wisdom.
Right.
I guess one of my biggest hurdles is I've always had a hard time saying no. I do. I have a hard time saying, Brother Joe, I need you this meeting, and oh, I need you here, and I need you there. And I have a hard time saying no, because, you know, it is. But sometimes you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But now, let me say this. My family and my wife and the church I pastor has been so gracious to me and helped me. And I've got the last 16 years of our ministry at our church, we've been able to have staff.
Right.
And God has given me a wonderful staff of men that really took a great load off of me. In that area, you know, for the church responsibilities. But you're right, sometimes that balance is hard to find.
That's tough. Sometimes you're on the road all day long.
But, you know, in reality, though, if you didn't travel and you didn't preach for meetings and you stayed at home all the time and you studied 8 hours a day without the breath of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
God being gracious enough to give you a message.
Right.
It's words on paper.
That's
you're
right.
Not careful.
Right. Right.
You know,
that's
so,
exactly right.
You know, I think God realizes your efforts, He knows your motives, and He'll come by and say, let me give you this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yes,
you know what that's like.
Yeah.
And God does look on the heart. He really does.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's been our privilege to have you. We appreciate
glad.
It. We're glad you didn't say no to coming.
Yeah.
Anything that will strengthen.
Yes.
And especially now.
Yeah.
More than ever. Anything that will strengthen the next generation of the young preachers, I'm willing to do it.
Amen.
Stay with God. Pray fervently. Study. Write and divide the word of truth. But I want to emphasize, and all of what we do, all is in vain.
Amen.
Without the kiss of the Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen. That's exactly
right. It's God
that
makes the difference.
Amen.
I know we all got different gifts. We have different abilities, weaknesses, and strengths. But, and all in all, it's the Lord.
Amen.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And all Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
Amen. And I believe that more than ever.
Amen.
God bless you, brother. And let me say this. I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of your generation. Thank God I'm proud of your generation. And I got Brother Alex over here. I'm proud of his generation.
Amen.
And I'm thanking the Lord for everyone that's making up the hedge and standing in the gap.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Be sure to share. I think we're on every podcast platform you can get on now, as well as Facebook. So be sure and share the podcast. Get the word out. We appreciate you watching. And until next time, remember to strengthen the things that remain.
Amen.